You know, Manale, is if there's a dispute, she claims, you know, that she was a Mitzula, and he says, Pesach, Mitzula, Matasi. So the Gemara says, Eimemino, Eimemino, with regard to this, we believe it, behold, she was Allah. Then the Rishonim talk about other cases that could be like the Nusach of the Ksuba itself, which our Ashkenazic Ksuba reads, the Chazi Lechi is Arayza. The Chazi Lechi is Arayza implies the word Arayza in the Torah. So the implication is that Minatora, there is an obligation to pay the Ksuba. Tosas on Yudam and Aleph in Ksuba says, I don't understand, if Ksuba is Drabanan, how can we use the phrase the Chazi Lechi is Arayza? Tosis there says maybe we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel that Ksuvah is Daraisa. So Rabbeinu Tam actually seems to paskin that Ksuvah is Daraisa. Most Rishonim, including the Rambam, paskin that Ksuvah is Drabanan. If you look at the Rambam, so what emerges is if you look at the Rambam, you know, just to be fair, the Gemara says Arnafkamina. So we, you know, the Rambam is a closed work. We can chart it. We can test it. Let's, what does the Rambam say about Mos Kaputkia? What does the Rambam say about Ziburis and Idis? What does the Rambam say about, you know, Nemanus, Heimamru, Heimamru? The answer is, in every single case, the Rambam paskins Ksuva to be Drabana. Right? And not only that, but for good measure, both in Pirush Mishnayis and in his Tshuvas and in the Yad HaChazaka five more times, he says that, you know, Chachamim Tiknu Lehem LeYisrael, right, Ksuva, Kedei Shelo Tehei Kala B'Einav Lahotzia. So it shouldn't be so easy for him to walk away from the marriage. It's the Rambam keeps characterizing it as a takana, as a din drabanan, and all the dinim are drabanan. The problem is, and this is what we tried to explain very quickly the last time, is that the Rambam, even as he is so explicit that ksuva is drabanan, insinuates or inserts ksuva at the center of several doraisa institutions. For example, the Rambam says lisa isha in the koteret tehilchos ishas. The first words the Rambam says in hilchos ishas. Right, the first word should be, you know, tone setting. Lisa Isha, Biksuva, Bikidusha. The second words the Rambam says is he's talking about the Isra of Kadesha. And he says, right, lowly, you know, low lavo al Isha, below Ksuvo, below Kidusha. In Sefer HaMitzvos, when he speaks about Kadesha, which is a pasuk in the Torah, lo siya Kadesha, b'benos Yisrael, the Rambam says that means below Ksuva. And the Ramban there in Sefer Mitzvah says, I don't understand, doesn't the Rambam hold Ksuva Drabanan? How can a Din Drabanan be the definition of a Doraisa institution like Kadesha, and so on? The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim says that what differentiates Pilegesh from a regular wife is two things, Kiddushin and Ksuva. Again, you know, what's Ksuva doing there? The truth is that Rashi in his Perush Al HaTorah also keeps inserting three, four places in his Perush Al HaTorah mentions ksuva. Mohar, the word mohar, or mohar yimarena, and also in the Rashi speaks about pilegesh, he always inserts references to ksuva, and each case, pretty much, the Ramban ala Torah says it's not, it can't be, because ksuva is only drabana. The Ramban's a very consistent view in all these issues. The Ramban says, listen, I'm a straightforward, you know, halachic, you know, authority here. The Gemara has a debate whether ksuva is daraisa drabanan. It has nafkamina. It seems that we paskin ksuva drabanan. So let's paskin ksuva drabanan. Why? How can ksuva keep popping up, you know, in daraisa institutions and definitions? So what do you do now? For Rashi, you might just say that he paskins ksuva daraisa. I mean, for Rabbeinu Tam paskin that way, then maybe the grandfather also paskin that way. Possible. But for the Rambam, you can't say it because he tells you he doesn't paskin that way. So what I was really trying to develop, and this is why I use it as a hakdama, is that in life, and certainly in matters of ishus, right, money is not always just money. Sometimes money is a mechanism, right, for relationships. We were talking a second ago about Yerusha, right? Yerusha is certainly that. That's why, you know, Bnei Gad, Bnei Ruvain, you know, it was a very serious matter because it wasn't about dollars and cents. It's about the legacy of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and it went through the medium or the mechanism of Yerusha, but it's really about much more than that. Similarly, when we talk about the monetary interrelationship of husband and wife, which is part of what the story of Ksuva is about, Sher Ksus V'Ona is another part of it,
certainly the Sherek Sus part, we're really talking about not just, you know, financial arrangements. We're talking about symbolically a way of instilling confidence in a relationship, right? Providing security, which allows each party, right, to, you know, not only to feel that sense of security, but therefore to develop the existential bond with the other partner. So what the Rambam really holds, and this is what I was trying to convey, what the Rambam really holds is that the details of Ksuv are drabanan. Because if you want to know how much, most kaputkia, the gviya, is it from Ziburis and Idis, do we believe him, we don't believe him, all those pratim are drabanan. But the idea that underlies Ksuva, Shalote, Kalabain of Lotzia, is a Doraisa idea embedded in Kiddushin and Nisuin. Particularly for the Rambam, I might add, Nisuin. The Rambam Paskins, the Mishnah says on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, this is part of those Marmakomas, but I just want to mention very quickly, in the beginning of Afalpi, Mishnah has this following debate. Again, another time, if we have a chance, we'll go into more detail. But Nun Dalet Amud Beis, the first Mishnah in the fifth parak, right? So the towards the end, the second half of the Mishnah. Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mratza Kosev LeBesula Shtar Shal Masayim V'Hi Kosevus Es Kabalti Mimcha Mana. Right? Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Apoches LeBesula Mimasayim Ulamana Mimana Harezu Beilaznus. That's a very fascinating Mishnah. In other words, can she wave away her rights, right, to the whole Ksuva? Can she say, you know, I'm willing to take half? Or if we even formulate it like a legal fiction, and say ke'ilu that she already received half. So the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that she can do that. The Gemara explains, masa masha kasa b'torah b'tanai davar shiva mamon. It is masa, it's against the dinei Torah maybe, or is it? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda holds ksuvas daraisa. It is against dinei Torah, but masa masha kasa b'torah b'tanai davar shiva mamon, since it's a monetary matter, you can do it. And the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says that's because he holds Ksuvas Araisa, and he doesn't think that therefore you can, you know, wave away this particular right. Fascinating argument. How should the Rambam Paskin in that debate? Well, the Rambam Paskin's Ksuvas Drabanan, and the Rambam Paskin's Tnai Davar Sheba Mamon, even in Masna Masha Kosa B'Torah, is Kayam. So, anticipating the Rambam, right, which is a good thing to do as long as you don't stop at the anticipating part and you end up actually following through and seeing what he really says, anticipating, we would have all basically guessed that the Rambam, or more than guessed, that the Rambam would paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That if a person, a woman, you know, agrees, right, to acquiesce, you know, to wave away her rights in the ksuva, that she can do so. How do you think the Rambam really paskins? Apoches b'sula mimasayim harezo bilasnos. Not only that, he switched. The Gemara has a kind of an interesting explanation, because ksuva daraisa, and she doesn't have any confidence, and therefore it's bilasnos. That's not how the Rambam says it. The Rambam took the psak of Rabbi Meir, even though he paskins t'nai dov shabamam on kayim and masa macho kosmetora generally, like sher ksus. If he says Harayat Mukdash Sliyam Menashe Eino Chalai Sheir Ksus, leave out Ona for the moment. Sheir Ksus, the Rambam says Tanai Kayam. Ona, the Rambam Paskins Eina Tanai Kayam, because that's not a Davar Sheba Momo, right? Okay. So how should the Rambam Paskin about Ksuva? Well, it's Drabanan and it's Momo, so for sure you should be able to be Masnad away. Instead, the Rambam says you can't be Masnad away. And when he wants to explain why, he says, you know why? Because kolapoches lebesulim mimasayim, right, almana mimana, hariza bilaznus. Now, that's the language of the Mishnah, but it's misleading, because the Mishnah, the point is, you can't wave it away, and if we're trying to wave it away, is nus. The Rambam says the opposite. You know why he can't wave it away? Because it's nus. What's going on? Even if we were to take a step back, Rav Meir wants to say you can't wave away the amount of the ksuba, right? You can't compromise. Would you have formulated that in such harsh terms? Kalapoches lebesula mimasayim elamana mimana hareza boel bilas nus. That's shocking. Say, you know, lo mahani tano. Or you want to say, ein ruach hachamim no cheimenu. Right? But he's trying to do something economic. Right? But hareza boel bilas nus. He's married to her. No kdesha, no pilet, not even a pilagish. What's going on with Rav Meir? But even more important, what's going on with the Rambam? But the answer is, the Rambam thinks that financial security, and even more important, the sense of confidence that you can't walk away from this marriage easily, right? Shalote kalabein of lotzia, while the details are drabanan, the concept is doraisa. And since the concept is doraisa, it's part of the davar shebekdusha of the ishus. It's part of Kiddushin v'Nisuin, as we'll explain. So the Rambam says, that's the pshat, and that's why we paskin like Rav Meir. Because the ksuva, says the Rambam, is like ona. It's not like sher and ksus. Basically, it's expressed in dollars and in cents, or shkalim, or whatever it is, or euros, right? But it's really about, right, the character of marriage. Now, there's a few. Do you want a marriage that's easy to walk away from? A casual marriage? Do you want a marriage in which, you know, neither party, and especially the wife, has no sense of security and confidence? Basically, what you want then is a pilegesh, or a glorified or a heter kadesha. So that's why when the Rambam talks about kadesha, he says there's no ksuva. When he talks about pilegesh, he says there's no ksuva. When he talks about the mitzvah of Kiddushin and Nisuin, he says, Lisa Isha, Biksuva, Vikiddushin. When the Rambam tells you that a mefuta, right, who's taken advantage of by her soon-to-be husband, you know, if she decides to marry him, that he has to pay her if he divorces her, a ksuvas basayim. So all the mefarshim say, how does the Rambam know that? There's no Gemara that says it. Where did he get it from? The answer is because the Rambam Mishlemach says the Rambam interpreted the words in the pasuk Mohar Yim Harena Loli Isha as a reference to giving a ksuva malaya. So then the Mishlemach says that's how Rashi read the pasukim. He says that's fine for Rashi because maybe he holds ksuva daraisa, but how can the Rambam read it that way? The answer is even if Mohar doesn't specifically mean ksuva, Mohar means marry her in a manner that reflects respect and that neutralizes the flagrant abuse that you have so far, right, imposed on her. That you took advantage of her because of her tender age and lack of experience, right? So the only way to rectify this is to marry her with a full ksuvas besula, even though she's already a beula, or whatever it is that reflects in that society, in halachic society, a full and respectful and protective marriage. This is a very important yisod. So that's why the Rambam always inserts ksuva into daraisa definitions. So that's also why he paskins like Rav Meir and why he switched the equation around. The Rambam said like this. You basically want to have the ksuva, not to have it, but to halve it. H-A-L-V-E. You want to take the ksuvas masayim and you want to make it 100. What are you really saying? I'm anticipating the very real possibility, right, before I marry her, that I'm going to divorce her, and I would like to plant conditions which make it easier for me to do that, right? Why else are you making it a ksuvas mana when it's supposed to be mi'ikra d'dina ksuvas masayim, right? It's not going to be completely kalabein of lotzia, but it's going to be kala'er with a kuf, right? Easier. So that's exactly what Rameir was saying, but Rambam took it even a step further. Rambam said, when you try to downgrade the ksuva, that's not monetary. That's not a tzai dov shebamon. That's tampering with the very character of Ishus as a Davar Shebikdusha. You can't do that. That's not Davar Shebamamon. Right? That's like Ona. That's the right. That, why is that Kibol Bilaznus? Because basically what you're trying to do is, I'm married, right? But I'm treating her as if she doesn't have the protections of marriage, as if it's simply a heter of a physical relationship. That's Bol Bilaznus. Especially for the Rambam. Rambam felt that Kadesha was any involvement outside of marriage. Rambam felt that Pilegesh was permitted only to a Melech. The Rambam is very, very consistent in his views. So the Rambam said, if that's the case, kolapoches lebesula mimasayim ulamana mimana hareza bo bilas nus, and therefore ain tana'o kayam. That's the Rambam shita. Okay. Anyways, that's the idea that I wanted to express in the introduction, because I wanted to basically establish that while Masechet Ksuvos deals with a lot of monetary issues regarding the marriage contract, and call it the Ksuva, both Ikar and Tosefes Ksuva, as well as, you know, the trade-offs in the relationship that are regulated by the Ksuva document, right, Maisei Adayim, and Metzia, and Kvura, and Pirkona, and, you know, Yerushasa, and Kvurasa, all these various things are spelled out in the Ksuva, right? And a lot of these are indeed very pragmatic, rules and regulations. There's no getting around that. But the question in each case is, to what extent do we look at this as Choshen Mishpat inside of Evan Ezer? Or, basically, because of the symbolic significance of that level of confidence between the parties, number one, and the greater difficulty, you know, to treat this as a casual relationship that you can just walk away from, because of those two factors, while it's expressed in the contractual relationship between them, it's really symbolically much more about the Ishus and the Kedusha of the Ishus. And that's really what this Masechta is about. There's a lot of Choshen Mishpat in Masechet Ksuvos, and you always have to keep in mind that, you know, pragmatically, Choshen Mishpat inside of Ishus is a different animal. It's very Ishus oriented, and that Torah itself, or in some cases Chazal, understood this, and in some cases more than that, intended, right, for there to be, you know, this dual character, you know, in terms of what is being discussed and what is being defined. Okay. Having said that, I want to turn my attention.
Does the mayor say it's invalid? The ksuva is invalid, or just
no. The ksuva is not invalid, but he owes the full amount. According to our mayor. Yeah, according to the Rambam's psak, the tnai is not effective, and he owes ksuvas masai.
Yep. That's a pretty extreme position to say that the tnai is batel and the ksuva is effective, and then go beyond that to say that he lost some bilas nus. That's pretty.
Well, that's what the mayor was saying, but yeah.
Right. I mean.
Well, I mean, the truth is the Rambam didn't say that. Let me make it a little bit clearer. Rameir says that the Tanai doesn't work, and therefore it's Be'ilas Nus, because she just doesn't know what her situation is, and so on and so forth. The Rambam actually says it, as I mentioned, the Rambam both turned it around, but I didn't add, and I'm glad you're asking. He turned out around the equation. Instead of saying it doesn't work, and therefore it's Be'ilas Nus, the Rambam said it's Be'ilas Nus, and therefore it doesn't work. But by saying that part of it, right, he doesn't have to contend with your question. The Rambam, that is. And the Rambam is basically saying, because allowing it to be effective would be Be'ilas Nus, therefore it's ineffective. And therefore it's not Be'ilas Nus, it's, you know, he has a full chiyuv. But Rameir really said both. But he said both because he came to it from the opposite direction. By the way, I should add that some of the notes that Kalim on the Rambam, I'm trying to remember who, I think Kesemish or Magid, somebody does note, Alechemish, I think, notices that the, I mean, none of them noticed that the Rambam should have paskened like Rabbi Yehuda and really paskens like our mayor, and both also in Perish Mishnayos. But even one of them, I believe, Lechem Mishnah, even notices the opposite, you know, emphasis. That in the Mishnah, it's Bol Bilasnus because it doesn't work, and that for the Rambam, it doesn't work because it's Bol Bilasnus. Okay. Anyways, having said that, so now let's move away from Ksuva for the moment. Although, again, I'll just add one other thing, which I'm not sure I mentioned last time, but the reading of the Ksuva at the wedding, I think I've said this in the past, you know, takes on new meaning in light of what I'm suggesting. Because what I'm suggesting is that the Ksuva is not just a document which narrowly, attempts to preclude a hasty or precipitous act of divorce, nor is it just merely the contract that spells out the conditions under those and other, you know, circumstances. It turns out that the purpose of the Ksuva, right, is to add or inject, you know, important dimensions into the marriage and into the wedding. So on that basis, you know, it's worthwhile thinking about why we have the Ksuva read under the chuppah. Because, you know, most people think that, you know, it really is a narrowly focused document. And then you might say, well, is this really, you know, at this moment of, you know, romantic, idealism, is this the time to be spelling out what happens Nebuch if he dies, or even worse, I'm not sure if it's worse, you know, if he divorces from, a romance point of view, it's worse. But is this the time to be doing that? But the point is that the Ksuva, does address all of those things. But if the point is, if the purpose of the Ksuva really is, you know, to build security and the bond between them and so on, so there's nothing better to read, you know, under the Ksuva, under the Chuppah rather than the Ksuva, because it really is the protection. It really upgrades the whole concept of Ishus. Anyways. That idea?
The Rashi says it's more of a hefsek.
Right. I've never seen anybody express that idea but myself. But that doesn't mean other people don't. But I'm just saying, once... The truth is that Rashi has this tshuva, which you correctly mentioned, that it's a hefsek between the Erusin and the Nisuin, which is our next topic in the beginning of Ksuvas here. And even that is formulated in different ways. So you wonder, I mean, there are some formulations where it sounds like some Rishonim. There's a debate between Rabbeinu Meshulam and Rabbeinu Tam in the Tshuvas of Sefer Yashar, and then it got, you know, expanded to Chachmei Provence and the Miri and, you know, the Sefer Manig and everybody. It's alluded to by Tosas and Psachim Daf Kuf Beis and Beis, right? Whether or not, you know, at a wedding you have two Kosos and two Bori Pregoffins or one, because you have Birchas Eiris and Birchas Nesuin. So, you know, some of the Rishonim say, well, according to the Tshuva of Rashi, that you read the Ksuva, so for sure you should have two. But some of them say it as a kind of a begrudging, you know, it's really, 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 you should have one kos, and it wouldn't be mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. Since Rav Afsik for the Ksuva, Nebuch, you know, what can you do? Right. Others say, no, we're mafsik the Ksuva, so we won't have this issue. We won't have the Suffolk, or we want to separate them, but, you know, the Suffolk bracha levatala, so we're a little queasy about it. There are different formulations, is what I'm trying to say. Two things I think are interesting to think about. One is, does anybody out there think that even though we read the Ksuva in between the Erusin and the Nisuin, that it wouldn't be a hafsek, and you'd still be able to read to use one kos? Seems so. Right, that would imply that the Ksuva is very much part of what's going on. Or, let me say it in the other extreme, the people who say, really, really, what we would like and what we would do is to have, like, you know, everything on one kos and one bracha. But, you know, the problem is we read the Ksuva. Right? We're mafsik for the Ksuva. So then why are you mafsik for the Ksuva? Mm-hmm. That's the way it sounds in Rashi, and in some of the formulations, is they dafka said to read the Ksuva, to break things up, or to emphasize, either to break them up, or to emphasize that they're broken up. Okay? But what about the perspective that says, you know, we'd really like everything to be together. What can we do? We have to read the ksuba. So then why do you have to read the ksuba exactly? So the view that says the ksuba is not a hefsek, and the view that says that, you know, some reason there's some urgency to read the ksuva, even though it's going to create a hefsek that otherwise we wouldn't want, all put greater pressure on the question that I'm asking, which is, well, why do we read the ksuva? It's no longer easy to say, you know, it's for some other reason. What's that?
Give a cover to the rav.
Give a cover to the rav. You think he doesn't have enough? I agree that you can never give him enough. But
otherwise, he couldn't inject shirim into the chasana.
There you go. That works really well with this also, right? So, and I think that historically, the first time that ever happened, as far as I know, was at my chasana. So this is my suggestion. I don't know if I mentioned this, but you know, they have this prenuptial agreement now. You know, that we encourage people to sign. You know, chasanim. Rabbi Willig really worked labored very hard on it, and he still tweaks it. It's, you know, he went all over, speak to, you know, myriads of Talmidei Chachamim and Poskim, and he did a really an amazing job with it. When chasanim and kalas, you know, come, you know, we always encourage them to sign. It's an important thing to do. And we want as many people to sign it as possible because, you know, it'll help some people. Unfortunately, there are divorces, even in the Orthodox community. You know, we hope not many, but there are. And, you know, for whoever needs it, it's important that it be out there. So we try to encourage as much as possible. So I remember I once had a wedding. So the chassan got very enthusiastic. You know, I said, yeah, I think you should sign this thing. It's important. Not doing it. I always tell them, the chasan and kala, you're not doing it for yourselves because you shouldn't be planning your divorce, you know, before the marriage. But, you know, so it shouldn't be a stigma for the people who need it. You're doing it for the rest of the people who want it. I think it's the way to look at it. So the fellow got very excited and he said, you know, I really, it's important. You're right. You know, you accepted the argument. And then he said to me, you know, maybe we should like have it read under the chuppah to show people that we're really doing this. And he meant very well. So I said, not on my watch. I said, number one, it's a relatively new. If you want to antagonize people, that's a good way to do it. And secondly, I said it's a very, you know, disconcerting thing to be. So the fellow said to me, well, we read the ksuva, don't we? So that's the point. The point is that a prenuptial agreement is really an agreement that's important, but it really kicks in circumstances where a marriage has sadly, you know, irrevocably failed. And then the point is you want to speed towards a divorce so that there shouldn't be any extortion and, you know, things should be done, you know, as B'nai Torah should do them. And, you know, the ugliness and those kind of things shouldn't happen. That's really what the prenuptial agreement is all about. But the ksuva, you know, while there are elements of the ksuva that are, you know, jarring a little bit, but the real purpose of the ksuva is to keep a couple together. That's the point. It's all about, really, that sense of protection and security so that you shouldn't need it. So that's why one is a kiyum in the ishus. That it's read under the chuppah, in my opinion, is an affirmation of that. Anyways, okay. So now we come to the Mishnah.
We don't say
Say that again.
We don't read ksuva. We make the bracha al gefen in both cups.
That's what I'm saying. That's where they quote that's Tshuva of Rashi. So that we're nafsik in the ksuva.
That's a bracha shein tzricha.
Right. If it wasn't a hapsik.
If it wasn't a hapsik.
Right. So that's why even some of the Rishonim were inclined to say that, you know, it's chavilos, and you shouldn't have one kos, you know, for both. But they say, but till bari prey agafen seems like a bracha shein tzricha. Yeah, that's what Rabbeinu Meshulam says. Rabbeinu Meshulam really says that, you know, if it's a brach shein tzricha, then you don't have the option. You have to do it al kos echad. Right. But if you read the ksuva,
you have a little
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that some of them say, unfortunately, we have, you know, we have to because we read the ksuva. Right. Some of them say we read the ksuva so we can be mafsik. Right. And others say, you know, we're mafsik because we have to read the ksuva. Anyways.
Well, what's the value of the relationship? The whole reason they're together, to make it kalal the whole siyah.
Say that. What are you asking?
You're opposing the ksuva that it should not be kalal the whole siyah.
Right.
So they're going to stay together, married, because he doesn't want to pay the masayah.
No. What I'm saying is this.
I'm just asking in general. I mean,
well, we know Geirish, when we learned Gittin some years back, we started off with Hakdama, about the Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, right? So the point we made then was that unlike the Catholics, the Catholics just had a big synod, a couple of weeks, talking about divorce and whatever. It sounded all very liberal like the first day, and then they retracted the whole thing, which is fine with me. But unlike the Catholic Church, we think that Geirishin is a legitimate institution. Why? So I was explaining, and especially the view that says you don't need actually Ervas Davar, right? Or Ervas Davar means something more trivial. How could it be? So I tried to explain at the time was that divorce, in a way, the institution of divorce is also an investment in marriage. In other words, if people feel trapped and there's no way to get out of a bad marriage, then you can't maintain... it would become a myth rather than a reality that Ishus is a Dover Shabikdusha. Right? So there has to be a way out under the right circumstance. That's all we're talking about. Shilote Kalabane of Baltsia doesn't mean there can't be a divorce. But what it means is it shouldn't be precipitous and it shouldn't be casual. And knowing that, there are financial consequences force people to try to address their problems and not just take easy way out. That's what we mean, Shalotei Kalabein Avotzia. It doesn't mean never. And it's not how much you pay. It's not a penalty. That's what the Gemara says in Daf Yudam and Aleph Inksumit. The Gemara says, Knasu. The Gemara says, it's not a Knas. It's a Takana. Meaning, the Gemara originally thought it's like a financial penalty. Oh, you're going to divorce? We're going to, hit you hard financially. That's what it is. Before you take the step, we want you to think hard and long, and seriously, go to counseling, think whether or not, that's really what we're talking about.
So this would make a lot of sense with the Sfardi Ksuba, which includes sums of money.
Which is very Mepharet, you mean. Yeah.
Right. But with our
Ksuba, I hear. There's still it's still a sum, but I hear.
Yeah, it's a sum.
I hear. It's still serious. But...
When we learned Ksuba some years ago,
yeah.
The Sfardi Ksuba that had sums written in lirot, and when the inflation came, the value of that.
I think a lot of them were tsamud lamadad.
Right, no. So that became a question of rebate, but originally they weren't worried about that.
Right.
And then the value so deteriorated that there was a slate of divorces.
Really?
Because it no longer became Kalabema.
Interesting. I hear. I know that a lot of the ksuvas are written like in a, tsamud lamadad kind of a way, meaning that, they're tied to standard of living. It used to be the dollar. I don't know if it's still the dollar, but whatever it is. I'm not sure what's done right now in Eretz Yisrael, but I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. It's a good horror. Okay. So now, having said that, let's get to the beginning. So, of course, Masech Ksuvos deals with the Ksuva, of course, but it also deals with Nisuin. And the first Mishnah, Besula Nises Liyom Arvi, Valmona Liyom HaChamishi, or the Besulas Lechatchila is supposed to be married. This is in the time of the Mishnah, as we'll soon see. Bizmanenu, the conditions that made it so don't apply, but Besula Nises Liyom Arvi, preferably Wednesday, Almona Liyom HaChamishi, what's that?
Any kind of caterer has a free date.
Exactly. Yeah, well, the caterer is important here too. Shaktu, that's Shaktu. Shepamayim b'shabes, bate dinim yoshim b'ayaros. Twice a week, the Bezdin used to sit. B'yom ha-sheni b'yom ha-chamishi. And fascinating. Shim ha-yolo, tainas besulim, ayamashkim le-Bezdin. I'll say just a Derech Agav. We're not going to get into this part of it today, but maybe next week. You know, that's a fascinating thing too. You know, seemingly very peculiar. I mean, the reason that we get what we prefer to get married on these dates is so, you know, in the event, it means we're anticipating that he might be accusing his wife of misrepresentation, and then he'll be able to go to court and prove it, you know, the next morning. So that's a reason. We're talking about, you know, a wedding date, right? Strange. But again, we'll get to it. But the answer is, if somebody has this kind of a, you know, inkling, you know, suspicion,
it doesn't work out,
right? So no, it's important that he be able to air his suspicion at the outset and clear it up exactly, and because otherwise it just poisons, you know, the atmosphere. And let's say he decides, he waits, you know, we don't encourage him to go right away. So he rationalized, but in the back of his mind, he's got questions. This is also not a foundation, you know, for developing, you know, a proper marriage. So it's fascinating. All these things that seem a little bit, you know, to be, they're investments in people's, you know, state of mind and their state of confidence. And Chazal were amazing psychologists, in addition to everything else. Anyways, so the mission here discusses what day one should get married. I always like to point out that, you know, the first Mishnah in Ksuvos, when you compare it to the first Mishnah in Kiddushin, you know, provides a very sharp and startling contrast. Kiddushin begins the way we would expect it would begin. It's the Masechta about Erusin, about Kiddushin. And the first Mishnah should tell us what Kiddushin is. Aisha Nikneis v'Gimel Drachim. Right? Kesef b'shtar b'biya. Kodes Atzma b'shtei Drachim. Right? B'ged v'misa sabal. Right, very straightforward. Mishnah begins the way it should, and the truth is that's a reflection of the Torah Shebichsav. Also, there are psukim in Parshas Ki Teitzei that tell us, you know, that they're a little bit, you know, there's some ambiguity, which is clarified by Torah Shebal Peh, but you know, ki yikach isha uva'ala, right? So there's kicha kicha mistei Ephron for the kesef, you know, v'yatzav haisa for the shtar. So there are psukim that we can point to that seem to define what marriage is, what the kinyan of marriage is. And there's a Mishnah that's telling us very explicitly that there are three methods. We know what these are. There can be smaller debates about this or that or the next thing, but pretty much we have an acceptable picture of what kinyan kiddushin is all about. On the other hand, the beginning of Masechet Ksuvos, which deals with Nisuin, the second phase of Ishus, if you will, begins with what day of the week you should get married. Now, if there was some other Mishnah that says, you know, that defined what Nisuin is in a manner parallel to Kiddushin, I would just think it's an interesting organizational blip. Or maybe there's some explanation for it and be interesting to point out as well. But the point I'm making is more important than previously, because there is no unequivocal Mishnah anywhere which defines what Ksuva is. I'm sorry, what Nesuin is. The only possible exception is the Mishnah on Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Le'olam Hibur Shusa Av. Hachetikones, that's the bottom lines of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Everybody have it? The last Mishnah there. L'olami b'rshusa av hachetikones l'rshusa ba'al l'nisuin. She's in her father's domain, referring to a ketana, right, until she ends up to be in her husband's domain, right? Masar av l'shulchei ha'ba'al l'rei b'rshusa ba'al. Holach ha'av im shulchei ha'ba'al o shahochu shulchei av im shulchei ha'ba'al or b'rshusa av. So we have one Mishnah which does speak about the transition to Nisuin, right, based on Mesira, but it's a case of Ketana, and we're also not even sure what that is in regard to. Like, which dinim does that affect? We'll get back to it. Aside from this Mishnah, and we're just not sure even about this Mishnah, right, there's no Mishnah the equivalent of Aisha Niknes Begimel Drachim, you know, Bekesa Bishtar Bebiya. Okay, there's also no psukim in Torah Shebichsav that are the equivalent of ki yikach ish isha uva'ala. Like, what do we? How do we even know the how do we know the institution of nisuin min haTorah? The answer is very obliquely. We know it because the Torah seems to indicate that, you know, in certain conditions, if a woman betrays her husband, that sometimes it seems like she gets skila and sometimes she gets chenek. And, you know, if you look closely at the psukim and then a little bit more at Torah Shebaal Peh, the answer is if she's ureses, it's skila, and if she's nesua, it's chenek. Oh, so there's a difference between phase one and phase two. Doraisa. Moreover, again, partially based on psukim, partially based on Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Yud Amud Aleph that the Gemara there is talking about something else. Gemara says, Bia erusinose o nisuinose. Kiddushe Bia, right? What does it accomplish? Right, it's the intimate form, if you will, of Kinyan Ishus. So maybe it accomplishes both Kiddushin and Nisuin together. Or no, it's limited to erusin. Mostly, it seems like we paskin that it's limited to erusin. Anyways, the Gemara says, Lamai nafkamina. Gemara in Kiddushin says, Lamai nafkamina. Gemara says, Le Yerushasa, La Faras Nadarim, and Le Tuma. Right? If he's a Kohen, can he be Mitama Leishto? Can he be Mefer, in a general case, can he be Mefer Nadareha? Right? Yerusha. So these are nafkamina between Arusa, no. Nesua, yes. There are other nafkamina too. Psul, Edus, Ismi, Shas, Nisuin. Didn't even have to do with she'er and kind of bal ki'ishto type of halachos are limited to nisuin. And there's some debate about what's daraisa, what's drabanan. In other words, it's unequivocal that there are dinim daraisa, the onesh, and others that are dependent upon stage two of ishus, nisuin, as opposed to erusin. That is unequivocal. That is a fact, midaraisa. The fact that it is kind of agav in the psukim, or only through Torah Shebaal Peh, and that anything more ishus oriented is not explicated in Torah Shebitzav, is fascinating. The question is there a pattern here? Right? Should we just dismiss it and say, well, the Rabbeinu Shalom knows why he reveals certain halachos explicitly and others, you know, only through Torah Shebaal Peh and so on. My tendency, obviously, always is to attribute or assign, you know, significance even to matters of form and style when it comes to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, especially if there's a cumulative pattern, which I'm trying, you know, to work to show exists. Yeah. And they're different. Exactly. It's another one. 100%.
It's explicit.
That there are two different stages. Yeah. But what's not explicit is what defines it. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no kicha kicha. There's no uva'ala. Right? There's no v'yatza v'haisa. We don't know how to define it. It's not just that we don't know how to define it and the dinim are not as clear. The fact is that the Rishonim, in a vacuum, came up with a range of ideas. And it's a big range. You know, there are more Knisa Lebeso of the Ran, you know, the Badekin of the Tosis Rid, you know, standing under the Klunsos, you know, the Yichud of the Rambam, Yichud of Roy Labia is very intimate, Ishus related. Knisa Lebeso is very, you know, Dinei Mamonos oriented, perhaps. Right. So there's a tremendous range. In the Shulchan Aruch, They give you six options. We do that. We do the Badekin, we do the Yichud, we do the standing under the chuppah. Some people do, you know, what the Miri has this thing about, you know, he goes under her beged, right? Some people do that. The talus, they put a talus under the chasen on the kala. Not under, over the chasen on the kala. So, anyways, right? There are all sorts of perspectives. Not only that, Yerushalmi seems to suggest that a almana would have a different hagdara of nisuin than a besula. Not in the Bavli, but in the Yerushalmi. We'll get to that Yerushalmi. Shocking? Possibly, this is my suggestion, but I think some of the Aharonim say it too, maybe there's a difference between a katana and a gadola. Right? Masra Av, l'shluchei Abal, is about a katana. It's also fascinating, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Hamad Aleph, you know, it's Gemara in the Mishnah, says, Aisha Niknes Begimel Drachim, right? Kesef Shtar, Bia. So the Gemara says, Lemute Mai. So what are the things they say? Lemute is Chuppah. The Gemara says, but Rav Huna said that Chuppah is Kona. Chuppah will work as Erisin. So when the Gemara discusses, well, what's wrong with Chuppah? Why shouldn't you have a Kal V'Chomer? If Chuppah is Gomer, it should be Kona, because Kesef is not Gomer, and it's Kona. So the Rashi on that sugya, Rashi says, "Ketana shemasra avia," right? Lechopa. Meaning, possibly, Rashi and the Riazake, okay? Maybe the Gemara thought that chupa would be a kinyan only for a ketana. I mean, it would be a kiddushin, not for a gedola. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, ketana. Regular besula gadola, almana or beula, there might even be three different definitions. We don't have that in Kiddushin. There's only one way. I mean, there are three ways to be miskadeshes, but those three ways do not differ between katana, you know, a regular gadola, right, and an almana. So what's going on here? Why all of this, I'll call it for the moment, ambiguity / flexibility in Torah Shemitzav, in the lack of clear Gemaras, and there are clear views in Rishonim. But even Shulchan Aruch, basically, it sounds like sometimes they think, you know what, you could do this, you could do that, you should do all of them, maybe it matters who. What's going on here? Oh. So I think what this reflects is the following question. Are we really dealing with, in Kiddushin and Nisuin, two parallel phases, maybe even integrated, but parallel phases. In other words, Kiddushin does part of the work and Nisuin does part of the work. Right? Each one is a part Kinyan Ishus. Or are we dealing with two totally different ideas? You need both, but they're totally different. Kiddushin is the Kinyan, maybe even the Oser and Kinyan part, whereas Nisuin is the matir and more of the effect-oriented. It's more like the symbol of Chaye Ha'ishus than it is a Kinyan. In other words, Chuppah basically signifies the beginning of the actual relationship. And that's why it's also the matir. It's a davar de mimela. It's a reality more than it is a symbolic or a formal Kinyan like Kiddusha. So how would we check this out? How would we analyze this? The answers are numerous ways. Number one, we're just interested in general to understand what the relationship between Kiddushin and Nisuin is. If there's a mitzvah of Kiddushin, which most Rishonim think there is, the Rush thinks that there's not, Rabbi Sadugon maybe thinks there's not, but most Rishonim think that there is that mitzvah of Kiddushin, about Nisuin, or about both, and if it's both, in what proportion? Right? I mentioned before that there's this question of the debate between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, right, about mitzvahs chavilos, one kos or two kosos at a wedding. Right? Birchas Erisin, Birchas Nisu. Partially, that has to do with how we understand the relationship between these two institutions. The Nusach of Birchas Erisin speaks about Chuppah as well, even though Erisin is all that's taking place. And it speaks about Chuppah before Kiddushin. Right? It goes, Sher Kiddushin, B'tosav V'tziv, fascinating bracha. Anyway, we'll have to discuss. V'tzivanu al arayos, V'osar lanu eso arusos, why all the negativity, right? V'hitir lanu eso nesuos lanu al yedei Chuppah v'Kiddushin. Notice the Chuppah is mentioned, and it's mentioned prior to the Kiddushin. Baruch Atah Hashem, either Mekadesh Yisrael or Mekadesh Yisrael Al Yedei, once again, chupa prior and present, right? V'kidusha. Rishonim were all bothered by those things. Can you switch the order between chupa and kidusha? Mordechai, and of Zayin or Beis, in Ksuva says, maybe the reason that it says chupa v'kidusha is because sometimes you can have chupa prior to kidusha. Wow. What does that even mean? That's a debate among the Rishonim. Can you ever have, you can't have the effect of chuppah prior to kedusha. But maybe you can have a maisa and a delayed chalos of chuppah, and then when you do the kedusha, you've done them both, so everything kicks in at the same time. Can you do that? Can you have that or not? We do the badekin at a wedding, but the badekin at a wedding, according to the Tosas Rid, is the chuppah. So the Badekin always takes place before the Eirusin, right? When I'm Masada Kiddushin at a wedding, I always ask that there be two witnesses to see the Badekin. There's a possibility that it's a Nisuin. We'll get to it, if not today, then next week when we finish this topic. But there's some question, do you need Eidei Kiyum for a Nisuin anyway? But all right. If you do need Eidim for Nisuin, and the Badekin is the Nisuin, then you should need Eidim for the Badekin, right? So I always ask that the Eidei Badek, that the Eidei Yichud should also see the Badekin for that reason. But the truth is, then you're dealing with a situation of Nisuin Kodem Leirusin, right? So again, if you see these two things as unrelated but accomplishing different tasks and where the order doesn't matter either, then that should be okay. But if you think that the Kiddushin is the Kinyan and the Oser and the Chuppah is the Matir, right, or it's by definition the Gomer, then the order does matter. Yeah. He didn't necessarily think it was before.
Right, so I'm saying just in the Zman HaGemara before, it was a year later, so...
Very possible. But what I'm saying is in our practice, where it ends up that way.
Yeah.
Again, the Mordechai does say that the Birchas Nisuin reflects the possibility of that order. It's possible that the Ramban in Kiddushin Daf Yud Amud Aleph, is an interesting Ramban. The Ramban, I'll just tell you very quickly, the Ramban in the Daf Yud Amud Aleph in Kiddushin says the following. The Gemara there says, Tchilas biyakone or sof biyakone. Safek in the Gemara. Okay. Whatever that is, hara'ah it's called, Tchilas biya. So the Gemara says, the my nafkamina, what terms does it make? And the Gemara gives two nafkamina. The second nafkamina is a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is supposed to marry a Besula. Right? So, if Tchilas biya is not Kone, she's already Be'ula by the time he does the Kiddushin. So that should be a problem, that should be a violation. Right? Strange, but that's what the Gemara says. Okay. So then the Ramban asks the following question. Ramban says, it seems from this Gemara that the Hagdara of Be'ula, right, with respect to Besula and Be'ula for Kohen Gadol depends on Eirusin. Right? But there's another Gemara, and that is the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Nun, Heyamud Beis, Nun Vavamud Al. There the Gemara says that the Gemara, talk again, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Gadol can't marry a Bogeres, and what happens if he's Ma'ariser when she's a Katana, and she becomes a Bogeres, or Nara, and she becomes a Bogeres before the Nisuin. Okay? So the Gemara says that's a problem. So Ramban said, Tosas asked this question. Ramban asks the question in Kiddushin. Tosas asks the question in Yevamos. The question is, but isn't that against the Gemara in Kiddushin? Because the Gemara in Kiddushin seem to think that the Hagdara, Besula, and Be'ula depends on Eirusin, not on Nisuin. Right? This is the question. So the Ramban in Kiddushin gives two answers. One answer he gives is the Gemara in Kiddushin on the same page as another Safek, the one I mentioned a minute ago. Bia Eirusin Osa, or Bia Nisuin Osa. So if you hold, maybe one Safek is connected to the other Safek. If Bia is Nisuin Osa, right, so he does everything Bavasachas. There's no problem. Right? That's a good answer. Inami, or Ikal Meimar, says the Ramban. Another answer, and that is, he did the chup already. And now he's doing the Erusin. The Gemara in Ivamos tells us that if he did Erusin, and then something happened prior to the Nisuin, and she's no longer a regular Basula, that's a problem for a Kohen Gadol. But if he did the Nisuin, and there's no problem, and then he did the Erusin, and she became a Niveles in the process of the Erusin, which completed both Erusin and Nisuin, that's fine. So the Mishnah Melech, in Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus Halacha Beis, quotes this Ramban. It says, oh, the Ramban obviously holds that you can have Nisuin prior to Erusin. You know, when you see in Mordechai or Tosas Rid, you know, but the Ramban holds that way. Wow. So some Achorim disagree. They say that's not what the Ramban means. What the Ramban means is that it's simultaneous. Right, you did the chuppah, you're still involved in the chuppah, and now you do the erusin, so it's erusin v'nisuin b'vasachas. There's no moment, right, where you're missing the nisuin. But the Mishnah Melech understood the Ramban, that you can really switch the order. Okay. Anyways, these are some ways to test the relationship between erusin and nisuin. Other ways to test it are to see whether or not we really treat nisuin as a kinyan, or simply as a maisa de mimela. What level of das, what did you say? Edim, edekium, das, ketana, right? What's the status of nisuin in these issues as well? But here it gets a little tricky. Now the reason it gets a little tricky is as follows. Because nisuin, in a regular situation, where you have kedushin as phase one, nisuin as phase two, so nisuin has certain obvious advantages, if you will, to kiddushin, even aside from the issue we're raising. We're raising the issue whether or not maybe kiddushin is a kinyan, and nisuin is the matir, or the gemar, or the hasara sa'ikuv of the ishus. Right? That's the conceptually two different ideas, kiddushin and nisuin. Right? But even if you didn't hold that way, what's absolutely clear is two things. And that is, in a regular, typical case, nisuin is part two. The very fact that it's part two might affect some of the conditions connected with it. Number one. And number two, but connected with it, is the following. And that is as follows. Nisuin takes place against a background where she's already an Eishes Ish, and there's already Kedusha. So not only is it phase two, there is already a connection between the parties. Kiddushin is about establishing a relationship between the two. That might affect certain dinim. So let me explain what I mean very specifically. So the Mishnah says here, Besula Niseis L'Yom Arvi. Right? So the diktuk, you know, is usually just diktuk. But sometimes diktuk matters more. Right? And Bali Tosas here ask an interesting question. The second Tosas. Hodelok tani nosinus abasula kemoha ish mekadesh. How come in Mishnah, in the second parak of Kiddushin, says ish mekadesh with a verb? And here it's a nifal, right? Basula nises, she is married. Instead of saying ha'ish nose basula, esa basula. So the first answer Tosas gives is, l'fisha'ata mekatzar yoser. Okay, nothing to write home about, right? The third answer that Tosas gives is, v'od d'hosama krokoi ki yikach ishisha. In one, we're following the language of the psukim, also nothing to write home about. The second answer is important. Look at the second answer. V'od itani hocha hava mina filo bal korcha k'demishane gabi ha'depare filisni ha'ish kone. What's he saying? In Gemara Kiddushin, the Gemara asks a similar question. The first Mishnah in Kiddushin says what? Ha'isha niknes. The second parak it says ha'ish mekadesh. Why the passive, right? Ha'isha niknes. So the Gemara says, because if it had said ha'ish koneh, you would have thought afilu bal karcha kamashma midaita in shalom midaita lo. That's the Gemara. That's a bit of a remarkable Gemara, because the Gemara really thought that you could be Mekadosh and Isha against her will. Number one, how can you impose transactionally something on someone against their will? It's a transaction. Okay. That's, I guess as they say in Yiddish, you know, which is not my native language, you know, a halbatzara. To ask me, there's a bigger question. And that is, just mechanistically, how do you do it? Meaning, to use my language for the moment, there's no mitzare. What, you're going to go corner somebody in the street and impose kiddushin on them? When you talk about imposing your will, right, coercing somebody, you either have to be talking about a physical reality, a pragmatic kind of a relationship, where one is stronger than the other, more forceful than the other, right, more formidable and can impose his will. Or if it's an illegal relationship that exists already, there's a unit, and there's a dominant element in the unit that is imposing will upon the more subservient or passive partner, right? But in the case of Kiddushin, we're talking about people have nothing to do with each other. I can corner some Isha and force her to be my wife against her will. It's against the concept of Kinyan, true, but maybe you can have a Kinyan. Gittin is a Kinyan Balkorcha. But Gittin, there's a framework. There's a relationship. Yibum, there's a relationship. The Zika is a relationship. But Kiddushin, right, you want to create a relationship. In any case, the Gemara says there's no such thing. Midaita in shalom, midaita lo. There are Rishonim who don't even think that that's really what the Gemara meant, even as a Havamina, but we'll, if we get a chance, we'll get to that. Oh, but what does Tosa say? Tosa says, if the Mishnah here had said, no sin is abasulos, we would have thought that Nisuin is Balkarcha. Kamash Milan, it's not. Now, the question is as follows. This mistake that we would have made had the language of the Mishnah been active for the man. Okay? Would we have made that mistake if we knew Masachet Kiddushin, Dav Beis Amud Beis? In other words, if we knew that in Kiddushin, Midaita in Shalom, Midaita lo, right? Would we make the mistake and think that Nisuin is Balkarcha, or just because we don't know Kiddushin? We don't know Ksuvus, we don't know Kiddushin. We're equal, ignorant. Okay, good. Excellent. Good. Fun. Okay. I set that up a little bit, but okay. What I'm saying is as follows. If you look at the Tosis Rash Mishans, when he quotes this answer of Tosis, it sounds like he's saying, I mean, it's my instinct speaking a little bit. I think what he's saying is, just like in Kiddushin, you might think Bal Korchach, and the answer is not, so too in Nisuin. But if you knew Kiddushin, maybe you wouldn't say it in Nisuin either. If you look at the Marsha here, we have it on the page. I'm sorry, not the Marsha. The Marsha. Chachmat Shlomo Masachet Ksuvos, Beis Amud Aleph. Yeah. Tosis Dir Maskun, he says, the Parak Velishnei Ishkona, near B'Einai, the Reisha Isha Niknes, and Mishum Hachi Leke Lemite Gabi Yish Mekadesh, the Kfar Tana Bereisha Shein Isha Niknes El Ledaita. Aval Haka She Kfar Niskadsha, Hava Mina Shapir Niseis, Afbal Karcha, Kamash Malan. Look at the Yamshel Shlomo. I'm sorry, look at the Shidim Gebetz in Ksuvas, the next piece. He says something similar, but the language is a touch different, but the same basic idea. Me'ata koshek sas, the hachanami leikalimitoi, the kvar shmina neisha niknes. He asks the question. Shidigvet says, well, why would he make a mistake? He learned Kiddushin. Does that mean that they had Kiddushin before Ksuvas, or are people just learning out of order? There's a bit of debate, by the way. We discussed this when we learned Yivamos some years ago. You know, what is the order of Nashim? Right, in our order, they just started Daf Yomi now, right? For Yivamis. Yes. So it's Yivamis, Ksuvis, how does it go? Then the Darim, Nazir, Sota, Gittin, Kiddushin. Yeah. So that wasn't the order that everyone had. So it's not for now. But there were some that had Kiddushin before Ksuva. Makes sense, because Kiddushin is Arison and Ksuva is Nisuin, right? Anyways, that Shidu Gebetz basically says, if you learn Kiddushin, You won't make the mistake. Yeshlomar the hachel aboy lemeimar the hava mina de balkorcha tiskadesh kidem shani hasam. The hava mina here isn't that kiddushin will be balkorcha. For that you need to know the gemara in kiddushin. Zekvar shamina mimasisa niktani isha niknes. Elohachi kamer hava amina di miskatcha biritzona de tinase balkarcha. Kimin diskvar niskatcha biritzona ika mitai bahachi. If you know that the kiddusha needs to be balkarcha, you still don't know necessarily that the chuppah has to be balkarcha. But now this can be explained in one of three ways. One way is to say what we said a second ago. If the problem of balkarcha is primarily what I call a tziruf problem, namely you don't have any relationship with this party person, you can't impose your will. You can only impose your will from the inside of a relationship. Or in an area of halacha that isn't formal, but is pragmatic. Right? If I'm stronger than you, I can force you to do things. But legally, for us to recognize that in the halacha, it either has to be a pragmatic legal thing, like shavoy or kinan kibush, things of that sort, or there has to be a pre-existing relationship. So what you might say is, what Tosas is saying here is exactly that. Even though kedusha needs to be midaita because the problem is one of tziruf, once she's his wife, he can be the dominant one in the relationship, maybe enforce nisuin. That's one explanation. A second explanation is also what I referred to before, and that is, maybe even if nisuin is a kinyan, but it's still kinyan stage two. So maybe the das of stage one is all you need, especially if we take the view that it's kind of an integrated, although also elongated, kinyan. Like it could be a long period of time between the beginning of the kinyan. We do it together, but in the old days, right, they had a year. So it stretches out a year, but it's still one long process. So maybe you don't need das. You might have thought that you don't need das on part two, or it can be bal korcha, not because it's not a kinyan, and not because the only reason you need das is to create the tziruv. No. The Torah's kinyan, and this is a kinyan too, but maybe you already have the das from phase one. You don't have to repeat it. The third explanation, the one that I think is more likely the truth, is that it's not a coincidence that we usually speak about kiddushin as a kinyan, ha'isha niknes, right? V'kones atzma. We don't really speak about nisuin much as a kinyan. There's one line in the Yerushalmi says, you can't get married on Shabbos because it's kekona kinyan b'Shabbos. Yerushalmi in the beginning of Ksuvas, there's a line in the Gemara in Ksuvas also later on. The Gemara says, chibas bia kone, regarding the Ksuva. But mostly we don't speak about nisuin as a kinyan, as a kone. We speak about it as a gomer. Rabbeinu Ephraim, explain the context in a minute, spoke about nisuin as a kinyan. But mostly, Meiri spoke about it as a gemar kinyan. But mostly we speak about it as a gomer, or as a matir. So what you might say is, when do you need das? And you say, that's kiddushin. Midaita in shalom, midaita loka, it's a kinyan. But nisuin is a mitzius. Chuppah is a mitzius. Maybe it could even be bal karcha. So, listen, this is a hava mina in a tosas. We have to do better than that, right? So Simcha mentioned Edekiyu, and I mentioned Ketana. Let's look at those two cases. We're going to stop in 1 minute, but let's look at those two cases.
The only reason why we need then das by Nisuin is because of kind of this backhanded saying that Tos was in the...
Well, I think it is Masra Av L'Shluchei HaBaal and those kind of things do seem to indicate that we do, that it can't be Bal Korcha. The question is, why? Maybe because it's antithetical to what, to the effect that you want to create in the Suin too. It's about Chayo Ishus. It's not very, appetizing that should be Bal Korcha either. Right. And certainly if it's Yichud or something like that, or Kenisa Lebeso. Right, maybe it's limited to the father's case. So we'll discuss that a little more. Mostly it seems like it can't be bal korcha, that we accept Tosas's. Although I'm not sure no one could disagree with Tosas. But what I'm going to try to show is, Ketana is a great case. Let's talk about Ketana first, and we'll talk about Edekiyum afterwards. Ketana is a great case. There are two Gemaras in Masechet Kiddushin, in the second paragraph. One is Ktana Shinaskatsha Shalom Das Avia. The Achakach Nisratza Av. Krusha took place. So Ktana, Krusha took place without the father's knowledge. Later on, he found out about it and he agreed, maybe even wholeheartedly, through a Kiddush, whatever. Another Gemara, Isha She Nisei Shalom Das Avia. The Achakach Nisratza Av. Okay? Now, if you look at the Rambam in. Before we get to. Oh, okay. Oh, let me get that. If you look at the Rambam, in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, second to last, this is on line 14 of page 2. Rambam says, Niskacha konim shetivgar shalol adas avia ina mekudeshes. Kiddushin took place before, right, when she's a ketana, and shalol adas avia, the kiddushin is not kal. Even if when he finds out about it, he agrees. That's pretty clear. Now look at the next one, Perakov Beis Halachahei. Ketana Shiniskacha Ladas Avia. In the Kedushin part, the father agrees up front. And Nisei Shalolodas Avia. Bein Befanav, Bein Shalobefanav. Yochal Ha'av Limchos. He can refuse. Kemosha Biarnu. Afila Shasa Ka'av, Mesain, Abal Yarshafat. Now, here, if you look very carefully, the Rambam writes two different things. In Kiddushin, he writes that if the father isn't upfront in agreement, even if later on he's maskim, it doesn't work. In Nisuin, he writes that the father has the right to object. Right? But. Pretty clear that if he doesn't object, we don't need his agreement. And it doesn't have to be up front. So this actually was a major, major debate. The question is why the discrepancy, right? Also between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. So this, if you look at the piece before, the Mordechai, Masechet Kiddushin, Perek Ish Mekadesh, also the Gos Memunios on the Rambam. What happened was, Maisa Bechot Shekibel Kiddushei Bito, Kishahosa Katana, father married off his daughter. She was alive, and he married her off when she was a katana. Uba'oda katana meisa'a, and then he died. Rabasaisa yechida, right? Uru'uya lirosh nechasim merubim me'avia. She's coming into a huge fortune. Bahoisa cholanis, even better, she's coming into a huge fortune, and she's ill. Right? Not really, but it can be facetious because it isn't a real case, or at least not now. The Shala Baal Lichnos Babur Shim Tamus Shiyurash Anachasim. He wants to, you know, push the date of the Nisuin up. A male gold digger. Krovim Hoyu Yureim Pen Tamus Vitifka Yerushasim. Okay? This is pretty straightforward what's going on here. Va'arus Rotze Lichnos Bechazka. Because there's no father anymore. Right? Now, in Kiddushei Ketana, this wouldn't work, because that's Miyun. Without the father's input, there's no Kiddushin. But what about Nisuin? So here's a situation where you have Kiddushei Ketana Doraisa, and the question is, to have Nisuei Ketana, do you need the father, or just that he's not objecting? Because he's no longer alive. He can't object, but do we need him or not? Umana'u Miksas Rabosai. They felt there was only, in order to be Nisuin Daraisa, you need the father. Right? That's the language I referred to a couple of minutes ago. Chuppah is in the place of, in lieu of a kinyan. V'lodami l'nisu in d'yisom ha'ktana. Ha'itakon d'rabanan. Ha'vloch ha'kim in the kedushin d'var Torah b'ina nami chuppah l'das avia. V'shocha ha'dobah l'fer b'inu tam. V'heishiv al-ha'ktana sh'nizkach al-das avia meis avia. V'over la yud beis chadashim v'odeh ketana teimahu. Heichi ala leiv isha lo yirshena. Sh'harei lo nechleku. V'perak ha'ish mekadash alim b'shum d'shema yavo avia v'yimcha. He's dead. You know, we don't need him. on the Nisuin. We need him on the Kedushin. We don't need him on the Nisuin. We just need that he shouldn't object. He's invested interest. And so on. I'm going to skip a little bit. You get the basic idea. This is a huge machlokas for Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. So both in the Rambam's formulation and in this very dramatic case, we have a machlokas whether or not the level of das, right, whether a ketana can be niseis, even though a ketana cannot be niskacha. Now, similarly, this will pick up with next week, what about Eidei Kiyum? We know you need Eidei Kiyum in Erisin. Do you need Eidei Kiyum in the Suin? Reb Chaim thought that Eidei Kiyum, the requirement of Eidei Kiyum is connected, I'm saying it that way specifically, I'll explain what I mean next week, to the level of das, right, is related to the level of das that is required in a transaction. The more formal das and more intense a commitment required, the greater likelihood that there's also requirement of Eidei Kiyum. So the question of Eidei Kiyum in the Suin, right, is again going to test the relationship between these two institutions. Okay, so we'll pick up with this, and then we'll move on to other aspects of the Mishnah and the Gemara, hopefully next week.